This is Finally Alive Radio, where we discuss God, relationships, and you. If you're looking for answers, you've come to the right place. Visit us at finallyaliveradio.com. That's finallyaliveradio.com. Now, let's get ready to listen to some amazing truth from God's counsel with your very own Christian counselor, Gary Aris.
Hello and welcome to Finally Alive Radio. I'm your host, Gary Aris, your very own Christian counselor. Remember to visit us at finallyaliveradio.com, where you can download this episode and every other episode absolutely free. So I hope last week's show was informative. Again, this is not a subject that I enjoy. I don't like talking about this at all. And I hope you can't blame me. It's an ugly subject. Infidelity. Who likes that? But unfortunately, since it's a reality of life, we do have to talk about it. Now, in last week's show, episode 52, called Why Spouses Cheat in Marriage, we talked about literally that, the why aspect. And I hope you enjoyed the report that I included in there. It's on the webpage, finallyaliveradio.com. Find episode 52. Click on it. You will find the report that I included in there. It's, I believe, like 5 or 6 pages, so it's pretty good in depth. You get quite a bit of information. And that is for our cheerful givers. All you have to do is sign up. Go to finallyalive.com/give. Scroll down and you can be a cheerful giver. When you sign up, you will be able to download all the reports, ebooks, charts, things that will be pertaining to each show here. So you will get all of that. So in that show, we covered quite a bit about the why. Why does that happen? And that is tough as it is. But most people are looking for the how. How do we recover? How do I get out of this? What do I do now? And that's what I want to take some time today and talk about. And I can already see, as I've been really thinking about this during the week, I can see how this can branch off into other pieces of the whole system of how does it happen, different scenarios, and what happens. As I've never found two couples to be the exact same. It's just impossible. Since we're all different, we're all going to have different experiences and different ways of coping and dealing with things. In the big picture, they will have similarities, of course. There will be patterns that we all follow, but definitely not all the same. This is the touchiest subject I think one can experience in a relationship. Adultery, infidelity, cheating. But on the other hand, I also do want to say up front that some of the things I may say may sound crude or harsh. And that's never my intention, but sometimes it may come off that way. Again, not my intention. But some of it is going to be because we're limited on time. But also, I don't know your specific situation. Every situation will have a uniqueness. So remember, we are generalizing and looking at the big picture here. So just be aware of that. There is no doubt that infidelity breaks a person. The pain that one feels, maybe the pain that you're feeling, the thoughts that you're probably having, just a rush of thoughts, all the what-ifs that you may be experiencing and thinking about right now. And talking about trust, you may even feel like, you know, where is it? I have no trust. My foundation has been shaken, if not shattered in some cases. It is a horrific experience, one of the ugliest experiences, painful, definitely painful. But let me make this almost oxymoronic type of statement where it sounds like it's two opposites. In your weakness, you must stand strong. And here's the beginning of maybe something that sounds harsh. I want you to realize through all the turmoil that you're going through right now, life really isn't over. Think about that. Literally, life is not over. I don't know if you've experienced this or experienced this yet, but you look around. Just look around right now. Maybe you're driving. Maybe you're, you know, at home. I don't know. But life is still happening. Others are still going through life. Think about that. Hopefully that could be a small reminder, a small glimpse of hope. I don't know, perhaps, that life is not over. Perhaps everything inside of you makes you feel that way, but that isn't the case. Remember, you're going through something very hurtful, very traumatic right now. And unfortunately, because of what you're experiencing, things will seem a certain way, but they may not be so. Again, for example, like the thought, life is or life feels like it's over when it really isn't. The truth is that you are extremely hurt. You've gone through something that, quite honestly, I wish no one ever went through. But you are, and you will get through this too. Why? Because life isn't over. More importantly, let's go into the religious aspect here. This is a common question I hear. Why did God allow this to happen? And my response to that question, which I get often, is why blame God for people's actions? God doesn't control you. God doesn't control your spouse. He is an influencer, not a controller. Why blame God? I want you to really think about that. It isn't God who is doing this to you. Now, I'll say this too. God will lead you through this. He will strengthen you, even your relationship through this. That's what he is doing. He didn't make someone cheat. Cheating happens on your own volition, your own choices, your own temptation, whether realized or not. Put the blame where it belongs. It's on humanity, not God. He will teach you. He will guide you through this experience. And we have to get that out of the way up front. We have to deal with that first thing. Why? Because he is going to be your source. He's going to be your biggest guide to help you through this moment. I promise you, if you can't get right with God now, it's going to be like pulling teeth through this entire experience that you don't want to go through. So please consider that. Think about that. Get right with God. This might mean that now is your time to be a lot more committed to church. If you're already committed to church, maybe this is the time to really reevaluate things in your walk. Or, heck, if you're really involved in church and really have reevaluated, and or you do have a closeness with God, good for you. There may be other parts of your life that needs examining. This may be part of what the Lord is attempting to show us here in your life. I hate to say it, but a lot of times when I've helped and guided other couples through these moments, it has truly become one of the greatest aha moments of their life, the most eye-opening moments about life and also about themselves. I encourage you to be looking for the clues. Look for the lessons in this ugly tragedy in your life. If you can look at this as a bad learning experience, you'll get a lot more out of this. See, a lot of people want to just get through this. I encourage you not just to try to get through this, but also get from this. I know you don't want to think that. I understand that. You don't want to think all these thoughts. I'm already going through so much. I don't want to sit here and do all these things. Fine, that's okay. I can't force anybody to do anything. But when you're ready, I encourage you to do that. You've got to get up at some point. And when you do, the lessons are there to be learned. And the best part of this is that you don't need anybody else to walk with you. This walk is between you and God. This is your learning experience. Of course, we hope the other party, your spouse, does learn from this experience. Of course. But right now, it's about you and your walk. You have to be strengthened. You have to get stronger so that you're able to deal with whatever needs to be dealt with. I'm not telling you something that's easy, but it is right. If you think about it, you know what I'm saying is right. And doing the right thing usually doesn't feel good. Think about that. Doing the right thing always doesn't feel good. Case in point, Jesus Christ on the cross. He did the absolute perfectly right thing. And his reward, if I could say it that way to cheapen it, was to be crucified. Doing the right thing doesn't always make it feel good or even have the result that you have in mind. And this is where it gets interesting, because are you looking at micro versus macro? Are you looking at things to be okay today and right now? Or are you looking at the big picture? I encourage you to look at the big picture. Most people won't. Most people won't. That's just the way it is. But you be different. You don't need to be like everybody else. You look at the big picture. And don't just try to fix things for right now and today, though that is important. Look at things to be better in the bigger picture. That is the way God works. Big picture, not just moment by moment. We live moment by moment. So things to think about here. So for the sake of recovery, whether it's you recovering or the relationship recovering, there's one other main thing that must happen. That one thing is to decide. You must decide what you want to do. And here's what's interesting about this decision and many other decisions. You can decide to go left today, and when you go down that road, it isn't working, it doesn't seem right, whatever the case, you're allowed to decide again to take a right or to go back. But there must be a decision. And I'm not saying to make drastic decisions. Let's start with small ones, like deciding, I'm going to work on this. I'm going to work on myself. Deciding to stop arguing. That's a decision, believe it or not. Now is your chance to pick your direction. Decide. You know, one main thing I would hope that you would decide for or towards is to decide to be willing to have healthy strategies. You know, this is the point where most people start to get vengeful. And though in your mind, in your gut, you feel like, yes, this is what I must do. I must get vengeance. I have to get revenge. Or there's got to be a way to get you back. If you're able to think that through, does that really fix anything? Will that recover what you've lost? Is that going to help you proceed and progress to your next level, wherever that might be? What's funny is I remember watching The Simpsons growing up, a show out here. If you're not in America, I don't know if you know the show, but The Simpsons is huge out here. But I remember when they went to family therapy and the psychologist gave all of them the foam bats. And the whole family is over there just hitting each other with the foam bat, thinking, oh, well, this will just make them feel better. You get the aggravation out and now you feel better. Well, the truth of the matter is studies actually show that that's not true. Hitting something may make you feel better for the moment, but it isn't fixed. Therefore, again, looking at the bigger picture, it doesn't fix anything. You're still mad at that person. Even if you get revenge, you're still mad at them. You're still calling them names and you still don't trust them. I would encourage you don't go down the vengeful route. It does no good. You feel good for about a minute and then all the feelings rush back. All you've got to do is just think about that. And let me give you a really good experience. What if your spouse has been caught cheating? And what if they don't stop? They continue to go back to that other person. Some might say, perhaps I will get vengeance by hitting them, by calling them names. Or I hear this one a lot, I'm going to do it to them so they can feel what I feel. Now, when you sit down and think about that last one I just threw out there, are you telling me you're going to take the time to find a stranger, a person, to commit yourself adultery, and hopefully they will feel what you feel? Now explain to me how that got you guys any closer to fixing this issue. What if you don't get the upper hand? What if they get vengeful and retaliate by doing the same thing again? I can see how some people might say, see, this is why I'm with someone else. This is why I don't talk to you. Do you see? I mean, you really have to think about what you're doing here. Rather, let me give you a better idea. Let's say your spouse is still seeing the other person. They shouldn't be doing that. I agree with that. But rather than getting vengeance, create healthy boundaries. Many people don't think in these terms because we're heated, understandable. But here's what you do. Something to the degree of, look, I know you're still doing what you're doing. I don't like it. I know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. But I do want to fix this marriage. I'm irritated. I'm mad. You're allowed to say all these things. But I want to see if we can still work on this. But here's where I am with this. But if you're going to continue seeing this other person, I have to leave. I have to separate. Or whatever your conclusion is there. That's a healthy boundary. There's certain things I will deal with, put up with, and there are other things that I won't. You communicate that, but then you also execute what you communicated. If they don't stop, you're allowed to leave. You're allowed to separate if you must. I don't like the idea, but that's a healthy boundary. Because if they're not going to stop their wrongful, sinful ways, there's only so much any human being can tolerate. And it is up to you how much you want to tolerate. I also do want to put this on the table that you also want to be careful not to enable. So you have to find your own healthy balance. How long should it take them to stop seeing the other person? I hope immediately. But again, everyone has a different way of dealing with things. So be aware of that. Have a healthy boundary, but also be careful of not enabling. See, one thing we neglect to think about, because I'm sure as I was saying what I was saying, I said it very calmly. And how do you keep calm when you're talking to the other person, when you're heartbroken, and maybe right now you feel like you hate them? Because here's one of the most amazing parts. Really think about this. If I talk to you in a calm voice, the chances of you getting loud and obnoxious is going to be a lot lower. I'm not saying this is easy to do, but I hope I'm just getting you to think, spark in some sort of thought here. If I'm calm, cool, collect, in some cases, I think I can even scare the other person because it's like, wait, what do you have up your sleeve? This is out of your character, maybe. No, but you have a plan. There's a bigger plan here. Here are my boundaries. I think that's fair. If you don't, then you don't. I hope that you do because I do want to recover this marriage. Look, and I'm not saying you have to say it so calmly. You know, you're allowed to have your own character. I can't tell you how to do that. But something about talking normal in a peaceful, loving manner even. I know that's hard to say in this moment. But think about it. If I come to you calmly, the chances of you coming back to me calmly is a lot higher. Now, what if they come back to you yelling and screaming and calling you names? You don't have to respond the same way. Because if you haven't noticed yet, that just escalates things. It makes them even more of a hothead, and it makes you more of a hothead, and it just gets worse and worse. Keep it together. Create healthy boundaries. Still on the subject of deciding, decide what will make you happy. And what I mean by that is in this moment right now, you need to find something that's going to calm you down at least a little bit. Really, it's self-care. That's what I'm talking about. Not just happiness, but self-care. You need to take care of yourself. I'll even say it this way. What's going to make you feel better, think better, react better, with or without your spouse? What are those things? And I'm talking about from reading books, to going to church, to taking a day off of work, to going away, you know, coloring if you must. Hey, if you like coloring, then go color. Whatever you need for you right now. There has to be some healthy self-care right now. This is your time to rejuvenate. This is your time to work on you. See, a lot of people forget that part. I just want to fix my marriage. No, that's important. But if you're not okay, the marriage can't be okay. So you work on you. Find things that makes you better with or without your spouse. That's very, very important. You know, throw out another idea here. Part of taking care of yourself. Do a self-inventory. List the good qualities and the bad qualities that you have. And yes, we have both. Everyone has both. Everyone. It doesn't matter how many you have of each. That's not the case. You have both. And if you're real adventurous, I highly recommend ask some close friends. Have them make a good, healthy list, not a critical list. That we don't need critical types of friends who are, you know what I mean, I hope. There are just those critical people, not those people. Those people who will be realistic with you, who will be honest with you, but also not critical. Have them make a list of good and bad about you. Here's the real big part. Let's say you had two or three friends who make a list for you. Good things they like about you and bad things they don't like or they disagree with. And let's say you had three friends you had do this. Take a look at the lists. And the key thing is, do you find something in common? Did they all mention the same thing? Perhaps you use a lot of cuss words. I don't know. I'm just making this up. But perhaps you cuss a lot. If all three friends said, hey, you know, I really don't like when they cuss so much. I have kids, whatever the case. There you go. You just got some clues. Good. Lucky you, you just found ways to make yourself better. Now guess what? Cuss less. There you go. Again, that's a simple example, but there might be something more serious. What if they say, hey, you know, I think you drink too much, or you know, you talk behind people's back. Whatever the case, I mean, we all do something. We're all human. And that's going to be a huge reality check for you. And guess what you're doing? With or without your spouse, you are improving you. When you improve you, any and all of your relationships can only get better. You know, you might be thinking, well, wait a minute, you know, they are the one who needs to change and fix and get better because they're the ones who cheated. Well, there's truth to that, but here's the ugly fact, and this is across the board in every single situation that I have seen before my eyes. Though the adultery is probably a bigger problem, the truth is both parties, husband and wife, are doing something that is wrong in the relationship. Always, across the board. A lot of times the infidelity happens because of a reaction to something that's happening in the relationship. And if you want to know what that is, that's the last show. I gave you a whole list of different things that could cause someone to go and cheat. Guess what? Sometimes you had a hand in that. That is so harsh, I know. But can you accept that? That you may have had at least a little piece of why this person did what they did. I'm not saying it's every case. I can't say that. I don't know you. But what if you poked and pushed this person into this extreme place? What if you had a hand in it? Think about that. It's the harsh, ugly truth. And again, I've seen every relationship have something that has pushed the other person to that extreme. Therefore, you must work on yourself. You have to go to God. You must be in prayer. You have to be in recovery mode right now with or without that person. And the other part to this is as you're working on yourself, hopefully what's happening is you're having less time to what they call chasing the pain. What we tend to do in these broken moments is we start to think and think and think and overthink and overthink and overthink into eventually assumptions. And now we assume that this and that's happening and this happened and this person is in on it and that person did this. And a lot of times we don't even know that for sure. Chasing the pain is when you think and you think and you think, well, maybe they went here and maybe they talked to that person. You're chasing the pain. Well, where were they at this time and this evening and that day? Again, you're chasing the pain. What difference does it make at this point to know where they were in that day and that time? You're only adding more and more to the pain. Finding a way to accept the fact, yeah, it happened. I don't like it. Now, how do we recover is the most important thing right now. And I don't want to neglect that you're hurt. Okay, I don't want us to bury this. Okay, that does need to be dealt with. But you also have to think recovery happens in phases. And in the beginning, you have to take care of you and make sure you're okay. This is the part where maybe you talk to friends, maybe you talk to a counselor, a therapist, your pastor. You may have to just vent, and that's okay. You're allowed to. You have to cry. That's a good thing. You have to do these things. But be aware of your anger levels. You're going to be angry, understandable. But be angry, as the word says, be angry and sin not. Don't go to a place where you get vengeful. We already talked about that, but do not go to a place where vengeance is going to be your key thing. It's not going to get you anywhere. You must work on yourself, be aware of chasing the pain, because even that fixes nothing. But here's where we're getting to. Recovery. Two things that needs recovery is you and this relationship. And here's how it happens. One word. Love. Love is the only thing that will help anything recover. Love is what makes one consider something valuable. You know, just the other day I saw a YouTube video of someone that found a dog, a little tiny dog. I think it actually was a puppy. I think it fell into a lake or something, and it wasn't breathing. This man carries this little puppy in his hand, you know, it gives it mouth-to-mouth CPR, you know, pushing its little belly, you know, coaching the little, well, not breathing puppy. Hey, come on, breathe, breathe, breathe. Next thing you know, you see this little puppy recovering and kind of looking around, you know, in a daze, you know, and about, you know, 30 minutes to an hour later, the little puppy's like walking and running around. What makes someone rescue a puppy that seems like it's already dead? Well, love. This person consider this little puppy's life valuable. Sounds like there's love in this person's heart, isn't there? It's a good thing. It's great. But love, love is what's going to do it. In Matthew 22, verse 36, this is a dialogue between Jesus and another person. They ask him, you know, what are the greatest commandments? And verse 36 says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replies, he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Did you hear something in common there? The word love. You've got to love God, and you've got to love people. You want to recover, you've got to find love again. And see, most of us romanticize this idea that I have to find this feeling in my belly, the butterflies, or I'm looking for a spark. None of that is love. Not a single bit of that is love. And if that's what you're looking for, you're looking in the wrong places, because you may or may not get that. You're gambling. Love, let me tell you, love is when that spouse has gone down the wrong path and it breaks your heart. You're sad, you're mad, angry, everything in between. And you still look at their face and tell them, "Hey, I want to fix this. I'm upset, but I want us to make it. I still have hope in us." Love is what's going to help you realize what or why they did what they did, because you actually care and value the other person, which means you have to value their thoughts and their opinions, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not. You have to value what they think. That requires love. And if we take one step back, it also means that you have to love yourself. Remember what I just read? The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's hard to love your neighbor or your spouse or your kids or anybody if you're having difficulty loving yourself. That's something very important that needs to be dealt with. And if you feel like you're struggling with self-love, go to finallyaliveradio.com and check out episode 36. I think that could be really helpful for you. But to bring it back to what we're talking about here, when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to the hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." And here's verse 13, which says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." My friend, I urge you to consider these things that we talked about today. This is just the beginning. This isn't the catch-all and fix-all. This is the process. There isn't a one-size-fits-all. Part of it, or a lot of it, the answers are already out there. Someone's already talked about this. Some of it will be your own experience and going step by step by step. If you're, you know, the type that likes to go and read and discover things, you may think or attempt some things and they're not going to work because you misdiagnosed, you misevaluated. You think you know, but you really don't. And that's hard to do because you're in the situation. It's hard for you to see everything clearly. And this is the case for everybody. For me to see things clearly when I'm in the situation, that's hard to do. But that said, you may attempt things and it may not work. I encourage you to try something else. Because you're in a new place now. You're in a place that you're not comfortable. But in a weird and strange way, you're also in a discovery phase. You're going to discover things. Some things are going to be good, but maybe a lot of the things right now will be bad. Regardless, you're in a discovery phase. And I promise you, if you stick with God and you stick to sound teaching and sound information, you're going to discover something about yourself. And what you're going to discover is that you can make it. You'll get through this. You're going to actually grow from this horrible experience. One thing I know about God is that He doesn't waste things like this. He will teach you things through all of this. But I promise you one thing, you will grow and you will make it. Now, before I pray for you, I want to encourage you to go to the website, finallyaliveradio.com. And this is episode 54. I'm going to provide another report, a lot more details about the things that I was talking about today. I want you to have that. And all you have to do is become a cheerful giver. It's $5 a month. And you get things like today, a report. You'll get last week's report. It's all included. So I urge you to sign up. $5. It helps the ministry. And in return, you do get reports and it helps you. Again, we want to add value to your life. It's very important. Otherwise, why am I here? What am I doing? So I hope that will be a blessing to you. But let me pray for you. Lord, I want to pray for the person who's listening to this right now. They're probably going through a lot of struggles, a lot of heartache. Maybe they're learning and discovering things about themselves and about their spouse that is ugly and horrendous. But Lord, only you know. I pray, God, not only that they will recover, they will grow in wisdom. Lord, give them strength. Lord, put peace in their heart. Fill them with peace right now as I'm speaking. Give them hope in their heart that they will recover, that they will be okay, and you will give them the strength to make it through. Give them the ability, even though they fall or falter, that they will get back up and work at this very difficult test one more time. We ask this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Until next time, my friends, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Finally Alive Radio. If God has touched your heart with any part of today's message, let Gary know by contacting him on finallyaliveradio.com. Would you like to download this episode for free? Now you can. finallyaliveradio.com has every episode ready for download absolutely free. We'll meet you again next time when we look at God's Word with your very own Christian counselor, Gary Aris, and learn how to finally be alive in Christ.